Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to National Park After Dark. We have another Trail Tales edition. Seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I know it hasn't been for all of you listening because it's coming out, but we pre-recorded and now we're like sitting back down and reading your stories. And we're really excited because this is one of our favorite parts of the week is to get to tell your stories. And it's fun that we don't have to research it either. We just get to hear your perspective. So we are happy to be here today and read your stories.
That is a plus. I will say that. It's light work over here for this type of story or episode.
It's like we like reading anyway.
Yeah.
It's already all the information is there for us. It's great.
Usually formatted, lovely. Do you want to go first or shall I?
How about you go first?
Okay. That works.
I'm ready for a story.
Okay, first, before we get into that, I meant to ask you, so we've had a side conversation about a show that I've been obsessed with, and I'm like late to the game always. This is not a new show. It's on Amazon Prime. The first 2 seasons are out, and it's from, did you give up?
Okay, so backstory, Danielle tells me, watch this show. I'm obsessed with it. It's really good. It's a little bit scary, but it gets better. And I was like, okay. So I turned it on. I was like, I get scared easily. And then I was watching it, and actually I was watching it with Al, and Al is like the jumpiest person I've ever met in my life. And I was sitting there watching it, and the first thing that happens is someone gets like stabbed through the face. And I was just like, okay, this is scary.
I told you it was creepy, but it was scary, but then it gets better jumpy. And then it's just creepy. Yeah. But it gets less.
In the window that like, the first scene was there was a grandma in the window and she was like, let me in. And this little kid's like, okay. And she opens it. And then a couple of scenes later, you see her on the floor and all her insides are eaten and like spilled everywhere. And I was like, oh my God.
Okay. So aside from that, it comes in hot, but it simmers out and it's really good. And it's very, remember when I asked, I was like, have you watched Lost? Because it was giving Lost vibes. And turns out like 2 of the 3 producers of From worked on Lost. I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense now. And I'm so bummed because the first season was included on Prime and then the second season was not, like you had to buy it. I'm like, well, they got me. So here's $25. So I bought it, ripped through it within like 3 or 4 days. And now I have to wait God knows how long. I've been waiting for House of Dragon for like 3 years. That's an exaggeration. It's been 1.5 years, I think.
But it feels like three.
But it feels like 3. Same with Last of Us. Like, it's just, let's get this going. You know what I mean? Like, I can't get emotionally attached.
I like getting emotionally attached to things when I click them and it's like, 8 seasons. I'm like, yes, this is
perfect.
Right. I actually, I just started watching We Were the Lucky Ones. And
I knew you would get into that without even seeing
it. It's so good. And it's, unfortunately, it's not fully out yet as of this recording. Actually, a new episode came out today. So new episodes are coming out weekly, which I hate because I just want to sit down and binge them. But it has that actor who played, I forget her name, but she plays Gypsy Rose in the Hulu
series.
Yeah. It was a series. It wasn't a docuseries, but it was based on her life. And she does such a good job. And now she's in this one. And this story is about this. It's a true story about this family who lived through the World War II and the Holocaust era, and they survived in totally separate circumstances, and some of their family members died and all this stuff. And it's horrible and it's heart-wrenching, but it's all a true story, and it's really wild.
I saw it on
a true story.
I saw it the other day at the bookstore. The book version of it. And I thought of you. I mean, maybe I'll get into that or not. I don't know if it's not all out. Anyway, we don't have to have this discussion here. I was just kind of curious on
my from experience.
Yeah. And you gave up.
I'll try again, but maybe I'll try again when the lights are on, because the whole premise of From is at night, these things come crawling up to your house and try to make you let them in, and then they consume you.
And yeah. And it just gets so much more.
It's so complex. Jumpy. I believe you that it's good. Yeah. So maybe I'll give it another shot, but I just needed a break.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I was actually surprised that you said you watched it without, because I was, when you were like, okay, I'll try it, I thought you were going to just go in alone, because usually Al's like working and stuff. I'm like, yeah. Oh, she's brave. She's so brave, but I'm not going to tell her to not watch it by yourself, because then
she's
it would completely
so brave.
Deter you.
She's well behaved.
Okay, I'm going to read my story.
Okay.
Or somebody else's story to you.
Okay, thank you.
And it is titled, Something Follows Us When Something Follows Us Whenever We Visit a National Park.
Oh.
Hi, Cassie and Danielle. I love listening to your show, especially because my current lifestyle and location in the United States is not conducive to national parking as much as I would like. I'm also a librarian who loves history, so listening to the research you put into each episode is so fun. Great work. My name is Colleen, and I don't have a specific trail tale, more like a pattern we've noticed as we've gone to national parks. It seems like a dark cloud follows us whenever we're visiting these majestic landmarks, and it might make listeners think twice about having children. Our first family trip to a national park was Olympic in 2014. Younger versions of my husband and I were going to Seattle with our one-year-old for a family wedding, and we were both dying to visit Olympic. We planned out a nice trip with 4 days in Olympic and visiting all of the best spots. We were going to fly from Chicago to Seattle, rent a car, drive into the park from the south end, and meander to the Lake Quinault Lodge, where we would spend our first night. Quick caveat on me. I love hiking, enjoying the outdoors, marveling in nature, and a flushable toilet in the morning and evening, and a private shower.
Fair.
My husband calls me a cabiner. So we get into our car with my father-in-law to brave horrific Chicago traffic to the airport, and our one-year-old decides it's the perfect day of his life to let us know he's going to be a kid who gets horrendously car sick. We're not even at the airport yet, and our car is covered in puke. We rush to clean it, change him, and thankfully we make our flight. Then we land, go to a grocery store to stock up on snacks, and hit the road, during which our baby cannot stop throwing up. Like, how does his small body have the ability to contain this much vomit?
Oh.
We decided to throw any sightseeing that day out of the window and are just trying to get to the Lake Quinault area. We get incredibly lost. We don't have Google Maps in the ancient times of 2014. Keep having to pull over to clean up our rental car, and at one point pull over so I can take off all of my clothes on the side of the road and change into something puke-free, which was great for my postpartum self-esteem. We finally make it to Lake Quinault Lodge and can finally breathe a sigh of relief. Huge shout out to everyone who was working that night and got us a room with a bath so we could get all cleaned up and a delicious meal pretty much immediately. I will recommend that place forever. The next morning, my husband went to a small market to try and find some sort of cleaning supplies to clean out the vomit-soaked rental car and have a nice time commiserating with the owner whose daughter had thrown up all over his car the night before. But she was 17 and now grounded because of what caused the vomiting. Uh-oh. We spent our next 2 days seeing some beautiful sights. Watching our son run around Ruby Beach is something I'll never forget. But we ended up going to Seattle a day early and missing the whole rainforest in favor of visiting an urgent care to make sure there wasn't something seriously wrong with our baby, who continued to throw up nearly constantly. Don't worry, he was fine. Fast forward 2 years, we've added another kid to the family and decided it's time for another national park trip. This time, we're going to Acadia in October, arguably the best place in the world to be in autumn. A lot of the same with this trip. gorgeous scenery, beautiful walks through red, orange, and yellow heaven, throwing rocks into Jordan Pond, exploring the carriage roads, which are perfect for strollers. Take your little kids here if you don't want to kill your back. And of course, a now three-year-old throwing up at every major destination and a bunch of pull-offs. Fun times. Take three. Off to Saguaro. It's April 2017. Our almost four-year-old son now knows when he's going to throw up, so we travel with a bucket. Our one-year-old daughter is a champ traveler, so nothing can go wrong. Whoops, I'm unknowingly 5 weeks pregnant with twins. It was 90 degrees when we arrived at the visitor center, and I was not feeling good. I gave my husband a look and sprinted to the bathroom. I made it to the toilet because I'm a grown-up, but if you were there and heard a woman absolutely emptying the contents of her stomach in the bathroom, I'm sorry. We tried to do a bit of hiking, but it was so hot, and I was trying to not cry while dreaming of a popsicle in a pool. We ended up seeing Saguaro from the air-conditioned contents of the car, which was preferable to me and probably safer since that one-year-old daughter was a no-fear type of child and would have loved to hug a cactus. Infant twins and a pandemic put a dent in our travels for a long time, but we found sanctuary in the open lands those years, letting our kids explore everything northeastern Illinois has to offer and keeping ourselves from going crazy in 2020 and 2021. March of 23, we decided to give a big park another shot. Not a national park, but Brown County State Park in Indiana. It's close to home, only a four-hour drive. The hikes are manageable for all of our kids, now 9, 7, 5, and 5. And best of all, the nearby lodge has an indoor pool. That's a big deal with kids. We left home and it was 30 and snowing. Got to Brown County and it was 60 and gorgeous. The ride had been rougher than we imagined because one of our twins, who is usually our easiest child, cried constantly and was a general hot mess. My husband and I discussed that maybe road trips were just not her jam. We got to Brown County and hit the closest trail to our cabin, a pretty 2-mile loop, but nothing our kids couldn't handle, except that the usual angelic twins were falling apart, making my husband giving her a piggyback and generally just miserable. Fast forward to 7 p.m. and I want to help her into her pajamas and she's burning up with a fever, sobbing that her throat hurts but she didn't want to ruin our vacation, and covered with a rash. I called the lodge and found the closest urgent care, got an appointment for the next morning, and they also let me know that there was an ambulance bank 9 minutes away in case this became an emergency. She and I drive to the birthplace of Mike Pence, and I'm super happy she can't read because of all the hell is real and abortion is murder signs littering the side of the road. We finally get to the doctor. She had scarlet fever. Scarlet fever. What is this? 1850? She spent the rest of our vacation in bed while my husband and I traded off who took the other kids hiking or to the pool. And by the last day, she felt good enough to go to town. But no more hikes for that poor girl. At least no one threw up on that trip. With summer 24 on the horizon and a trip to Acadia as a family of six all planned and paid for, I'm feeling prepared. I already know where the urgent care is and everything. Plus, would it even be a vacation if someone didn't get sick? I hope everyone had a chuckle and wasn't dissuaded from taking their kids to national parks. In between all of the vomiting and the scarlet fever, we really do love the outdoors. Why else would we keep going back? Maybe after this next trip, I'll have some sort of ghost story, but I hope not. I don't think I could handle a surprise trip to urgent care and a haunting. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the view, but watch your back. One of my kids might be standing behind you and about to puke. Colleen.
I feel like there's a lot of moms listening to this right now that is like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that has happened. And also kudos to you, because I think a lot of people are like, either they think if they have kids, they can't travel, or once they have kids, they're afraid to travel and to just get out there, despite knowing that despite having to look up where the urgent cares are because you know something's going to go awry, you still get out there and go and have a good time. And that's exciting.
Yeah, it's not a deterrent. Just because it's more difficult than it was prior doesn't dissuade your family from that and giving your kids that experience. So, I mean, it makes for a great story. It's years later, you know, like in hindsight. So thanks for sharing.
And glad your kids are okay too.
Yeah. And scarlet fever, like, what is this, 1850? You got me with that. That's a good one.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, my next story is titled, or my first story, because I haven't told any today. My first story is titled 500 Miles of Reasons to Stay. Hi, Danielle and Cassie. First off, I want to say that I absolutely adore you two. Your podcast has gotten me through long drives, plane trips, gym sessions, and most importantly, my 500-mile through hike of the Colorado Trail. This past summer, I spent 36 days hiking, listening to your podcast, and knowing that I was going to have to write in a trail tale. Between a mama bear growling at me from 6 feet away, broken water filters, sleeping bags and bowls, cabins with strangers, food poisoning, and 100 miles on a broken ankle, I've had a hard time deciding on one story. Fast forward 5 months later, and I have finally made my decision. For a little backstory, one of my best friends lost her battle against her mental health about a year and a half ago. One of the many reasons I wanted to hike this trail was to get myself out of a rut. I have struggled with my own mental health for many years, and this past year was one of the hardest of my life. I was able to motivate myself by planning, preparing, and eventually hiking. However, on my last full day on the trail, I felt like I had nothing else. My one motivator for life was coming to a close, and I didn't feel strong enough to keep going. I have never believed in signs from our loved ones who have passed. But after listening to your episode all about signs from the universe, I decided I might as well try. I asked my friend for a sign that it was not my time to leave, that I had more to offer to the world. I had the fleeting thought of butterflies, but wasn't sure if it was too cliche. Expecting nothing of my plea, I kept on hiking. That evening, I set up camp only 14 miles from completing my adventure. I was eating plain tuna straight from the packet when two butterflies landed on my arm and hung out for a full 10 minutes. I laughed and started tearing up, knowing my friend was no doubt telling me to keep fighting. I fully believe she sent me two to make sure I really got the message and I didn't try to come up with some lame excuse. Since then, I ended up going to a treatment center to get some much-needed help, and I now feel the best I have in years. I know this was a bit of a longer story, but I hope that you know that your podcast led me to ask a question and which turned saved my life. Thank you, ladies, for doing what you do. All my love. Maggie.
That's so touching. Maggie, God.
Maggie, I'm so glad that you got help, and I'm glad that you are here and you found a purpose to be here, and I'm very happy that you shared this story with us, because I think that you're not alone and that there's a lot of other people who are facing similar struggles, and maybe hearing this story is a sign for them, and maybe this is a sign of hope for other people. So thank you for sharing that story with us.
Absolutely.
A very personal story with us.
Yeah.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, my next story is titled New Heights in Memory of Matt Richard. Hi, Danielle and Cassie. I have a trail tale to share, and it's with a heavy heart. I appreciate that you have shared your experiences with the loss of loved ones on the pod. I am now aware of how comforting that can be to people who have experienced grief in their lives. Thank you for everything that you do and giving me a place to write about a dear friend and the positive impact he's had on me. I met Matt for the first time at a Red Rock show. How classic, Colorado. He radiated positive energy, and I was immediately drawn to being his friend. Since then, we kept in touch via social media and finally hung out when I started getting into rock climbing. He was always posting photos of his rock climbing endeavors, and I reached out to see if he wanted to climb together. Even though I was brand new at the sport, he was stoked to introduce me to the climbing community and to show me the ropes, no pun intended. I've never felt so welcomed into a community and have never had so much fun doing something so difficult. He made me feel like I could accomplish anything in and out of the climbing gym. Though Matt was a newer friend of mine, I felt like I could talk to him about anything, whether it be my struggles with mental health or just sharing a new weird song I was into. I was so excited to have him in my life. After many gym sessions, Matt invited me to climb outside for the first time with him and his friends, and I was slightly nervous but thrilled to join. I had a few too many drinks the night before and struggled to get out of bed to climb. I could not bail on Matt though, so I decided to get myself together and follow through with our plans. After locating my car at the bar strip I left it on, I raced to meet him out on the crag out in Golden, Colorado. Dehydrated and pale, I arrived at the climbing route and Matt said, "All right, you're up. This is the tallest one." What had I gotten myself into? Everyone there was so skilled and I was so nervous to get on the wall. I started climbing with hesitation, but sure enough, Matt started to hype me up and make me feel like I could actually do this. After getting past the toughest part and making it about halfway up the wall, my anxiety kicked in. I needed to come down. I belayed to the bottom, slightly defeated, but when I got down, Matt made me feel like I had done the coolest thing ever while simultaneously making fun of me for being hungover in the most endearing way. I suddenly felt so accomplished and ready to try another route despite being aggressively hungover. I made it to the top of the second route. With a full heart and a new thrill, I had faced a fear of climbing outside and I had a blast doing it. All thanks to Matt and the awesome climbing community that he was a part of. Matt passed away in February while climbing in Potrero, Mexico. He was having the time of his life and had just completed his hardest climbing route to date. Matt was all about living his best life and was so positive and uplifting towards anyone he met. He advocated for following your dreams and enjoying every step of the journey. Though I knew Matt for a short time, I will be forever grateful to have had him in my life. It is clear to see that he made such a positive impact on so many people. My heart goes out to anyone dealing with the loss of a friend and a loved one. Excited to see a sign from Matt, remember to watch your back, tell your friends that you love them, and enjoy life to the fullest. Allie.
That was such a good story, and thank you for sharing that. That was
it was a rough one.
It's rough. Like. It's like it's so sad, and our hearts obviously go out to you. And he sounds like such a wonderful person and such a full of adventure. And it's just like those people, you know, when you feel like really down, and they described it like she's like, I came down and I felt defeated. And he's like, you just did the coolest thing ever. Like that was so great.
Those people are so special because I know for sure I'm not one of them, even though I would love to be. I'm just not naturally like that. But the people who just exude that type of like positivity and encouragement and just like spice for life and just there is no, like you kept saying, he was a newer friend, but he didn't make you feel that way. I think everyone can kind of relate to knowing those types of people. Like mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if he's known you for 3 weeks or 3 years, he's going to treat you the same. And that's just such a special quality that, again, not everybody has. And it's really special to find when you come across it. So even though he was only in your life for a little while physically, it's really clear that his impact will last the rest of your life, which is something to cherish.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Well, my next story is titled Hot Dog Man to the Rescue.
Okay, let's take it in another direction.
Yeah, very different direction. Hi, Danielle and Cassie. I recently started listening to NPAD and I love it. I'm a huge fan and listen to it in the car while walking my dog, while doing homework, whenever I get the chance. I just got to the Iditarod Trail episode and I was very excited about it because I've been into dog sledding my entire life. I grew up in upstate New York and have been recreationally dog sledding with my husky for a while now. I am also a pre-veterinary student. I was so excited to hear that you guys were in vet med too. At the University of Vermont. Hey, we're neighbors.
Hey, and look at that.
Look at that.
I know. And Allie, Golden, Colorado. I don't live in Golden, but very, very close.
Very close. Yeah. Small world.
Small worlds.
At the University of Vermont and work with a local racing sled dog kennel. I have a bit of a lighthearted sled dog story that does not take place in a national park or even a park of any kind, but it does take place on a trail. So I figured it counted. Definitely. This is called Trail Tales. It's definitely not as crazy as some of the stories that get sent in, but I hope you guys enjoy it nonetheless. I was recently on a 20-mile training run with a kennel along a snowmobile trail in Danville, Vermont, a small town in the Northeast Kingdom. The first half of our run was a mess. We were training new lead dogs, and it seemed like things just kept going wrong. I was ahead of the teams on a snowmobile with a walkie-talkie so that the mushers could communicate with me if they needed help so that I could let them know what was heading towards them, other snowmobilers, cross-country skiers, other dogs, etc. My radio suddenly crackled to life, and one of our friends that we were running with frantically letting me know that she had a bad line tangled and she desperately needed help. Dogs getting tangled up in the lines can be a big deal, and it can be dangerous for both the dogs and the musher. My partner on the snowmobile with me turned it around and we sped back, rounding the corner and expecting to find hurt dogs or something else horrible. To our relief, all dogs were happy and safe, and our friend had anchored her sled and was working on untangling her dogs with the help of a man in a hot dog costume. If the situation hadn't been so initially stressful, I don't think I would have been able to hold my laugh in. The guy had been riding his snowmobile in his hot dog costume and happened to be the closest when the dogs got tangled and jumped into action. I hopped off the snowmobile along with my partner and we helped get the dog straightened out again, too focused on our jobs to even process the fact that a hot dog just saved our dogs from potential injury. We got everything figured out. The dogs were all okay, and they went right back to barking and bouncing around because they wanted to get moving again. Hot Dog Man told us that he ran a hot dog stand called the Winter Wiener.
Shut up.
That's really funny, and I want to be on this.
Okay, you're so close. You need to do some personal investigation.
Research. Wait, here.
Okay, well, I'll let you finish, but I have questions.
Where is the winter wiener?
Does it just operate in the winter? Is he on the sled in his
costume?
It sounds
like it might be on a snowmobile trail that you can go on, it sounds like.
Like a stop?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Which is hilarious and a good idea. Hot Dog Man told us that he ran a hot dog stand called the Winter Wiener along the trail and was out promoting it when he saw that our friend needed help. There it is.
There we are.
So he jumped into action and helped untangle the dogs. Untangling sled dogs is a fine art. It's not easy and takes years to perfect. I'm still learning. And this man dressed as a hot dog with presumably no experience with sled dogs leapt into action like he did it every day. We regrettably didn't get his name in the heat of the moment. So as we disappeared down the trail, we bid him a simple, thank you, Hot Dog Man. Hot Dog Man was our savior that day. And we even joked about running a 30-mile race in Maine that we have coming up in hot dog costumes in honor of him. Thanks to Hot Dog Man, the rest of our run was relatively peaceful through the gorgeous mountainscapes, forests, and farmland of the Northeast Kingdom. With happy mushers and even happier dogs, if you're ever out on the vast snowmobile trail system in the Northeast Kingdom, make sure to stop by the Winter Wiener and let Hot Dog Man know what a great sled dog handler he is. Keep up the great work, Cass.
Okay, Cass, you've just opened the door because I'm...
Did you find Hot Dog Man?
Okay, well, no. I'm just... There's a lot going on here. I typed in the Winter Wiener and I'm getting so many pictures of dachshunds in sweaters.
That's really cute. And I bet your algorithm, like all your Facebook ads, are going to be dachshund sweaters now.
Shit. Hold on, though, because I think I just saw something about Vermont. Okay, Vermont. Is that close to you, Dan? Did she say?
The Northeast Kingdom is north of me, about like an hour and a half north of me.
I found it.
You found him. What's his name?
Well, I don't know if it's no. I didn't find him. Okay. The Winter Wiener has 235 followers and 151 likes. About to be 152. I just liked it. It says, perfect vast trail stop to enjoy our homemade pigs in a blanket. Visit us in Vermont's winter wiener land. Oh, yeah. And literally, oh, my God, literally one day ago, it says, see you next season. The 2024 vast season is officially over. Thank you for everyone who ventured out to the winter wiener despite the less than ideal conditions. Okay, so there, we missed our opportunity.
I will say, you know what I'll say? Is my house is along the vast trails in Vermont, and we're planning to get snowmobiles. So when that happens and you're moving back to New England, you can come over. We'll hop on some snowmobiles and we'll ride up to go see the Winter Wiener.
It's done.
Plans set in stone for 2024-2025 winter.
Yeah. We'll have to keep – I liked the page. So now
– You're going to get updates.
I'll get updates.
You'll know when they reopen.
Yeah. You don't even eat hot dogs.
I was just thinking that. I don't even eat hot dogs. Maybe they have a vegetarian hot dog.
Well, they have soup. They have their menu on here. I don't know where it went. Oh, yeah.
Veggie hot dogs exist, and I like soup.
Okay. They have a chocolate chip cookie. They have hot cocoa.
I love that.
You love a hot cocoa.
Especially when it's cold out.
And they have soups.
Perfect. Sold.
Okay. We're just giving so much promo to Winter Wiener.
Use our code NKDWiener.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to continue on with this silliness because the next story is titled A Shitty Situation.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I can already hear the pun in that, but continue.
Hi, Cassie and Danielle. I have been listening to your podcast for a few months now, and I absolutely love you too. I just wanted to say that I am so sorry for your loss, Danielle. It hurts my heart knowing that you are going through grief, and my thoughts and prayers are with you. Thank you for that. This isn't your average trail tale, as I have contemplated whether to send this in or not. But since I haven't heard of many embarrassing trail tales on your show, I thought I would send mine in. Brave, first of all, I just have to say. Okay, so there's a warning here. It says, warning, the following material contains uncontrollable diarrhea. Viewer discretion is advised. Huge inhale, long exhale. Okay, here we go.
Good thing we're listening, not viewing.
Yes, yeah.
Thankfully.
Listener discretion is advised. All right, here we go. This happened back when I was 15 and I'm 32 now. So as you can see, I never had any embarrassing moments top this one in the span of 17 years. For about 4 years, my parents would take my twin sister and I to a Christian camp where we would go hiking and kayaking for about a week. And it has always been so much fun, and that's why I continued to choose to do this particular activity at the camp, because hiking is my favorite. A few days into the hike, my twin sister sprained her ankle, so she had to be taken back to the main camp a few days early so she could rest her ankle, which at the time was sad for me, but after the embarrassing moment I am about to have, I am so glad she wasn't there because she has a big mouth and it would have spread like wildfire. It was the last day of our hike before leaving to go back to camp, which by bus was only a few hours away. After breakfast, me and a few of my campmates decided to go to the stream to get some water for our bottles. After filling up our bottles, we put a purifying tablet into each, and, well, I was thirsty, and I didn't want to wait the 30 minutes or so for the tablet to work its magic.
Oh, no.
So, you guessed it, and I drank my water. For those of you who know how purifying tablets work, this is a big no-no. You have to be patient for the water to purify. After gulping my water down, I felt good, hydrated, and ready to hike back to the bus to leave. I was looking forward to this bus ride back because there was a boy who was part of the group that I had the biggest crush on.
Oh, no.
Oh, of course you did. I was able to snag a seat across the aisle from him, no. So little 15-year-old me was super happy.
No.
About an hour or so into the bus ride, we all stopped at a pizza parlor to chow down since we've been camping in the woods for about a week. After we ate, we all headed back onto the bus to make a straight shot back to the main camp since our parents would be there to pick us up. Everything was going great until about 15 minutes into our bus ride and my stomach started to cramp. I was gripping the seat in front of me because I was in so much pain. Before I knew it, I started to feel a warm sensation in my shorts. I'm thinking I must have sat in water, but then a smell started to linger from my direction. And then suddenly, I realized what it was. There was watery diarrhea coming out of me, and I had absolutely no control of my bowels. I tried so hard to clench my butt, but it didn't work. So yes, I was pooping myself uncontrollably on the bus around all of my campmates with my crush sitting directly across from me. Embarrassment is a complete understatement for what I was going through. I told the camp counselor what was happening, who told the bus driver that we needed to pull off to the next exit so I could use the restroom. He had an irritated look on his face because we literally just left the pizza parlor. Apparently, the smell didn't hit his nose quite yet. Thankfully, there was a campmate who was kind enough to give me her bed sheet, which, by the way, was white, so I could wrap it around my waist. I didn't need people seeing my poop-stained shorts as I'm wobbling into the Wendy's restaurant our bus driver pulled into. Oh, but wait, the embarrassing moment isn't over yet. Nay, nay. Not only were we in the middle of nowhere with very few restaurants to choose from, but everyone and their brother was at this Wendy's. With my luck, it was lunch hour and it was packed. I wobbled my way into the two-stall restroom where the line quickly formed out of the door. So here I am in this small two-stall restroom, shitting my brains out with my camp counselor waiting for me inside of the restroom. Not sure why she didn't wait outside to prevent torturing her nose like that, but okay, be my guest. It's not like I was lacking an audience. There were people walking in making comments about how bad the bathroom smelled. I was in so much pain at the time that I wasn't embarrassed by those comments. I just wanted to clear my bowels, get out of that Wendy's and back onto the bus, putting this embarrassing moment behind me. Joke's on me because I'm still embarrassed about it to this day.
Oh no.
Thankfully, when I got back to the bus, no one said anything about it. Well, to my face, that is. I mean, we were all 15 to 17 year olds, and you know how mean kids can be. They asked me if I was okay, and I told them, yes, I'm fine now. It must have been from the unpurified water I drank mixed with the pizza. I made it through the rest of the trip back to the main camp with no more unexpected surprises and poop free. I put my poopy clothes in a plastic bag and shoved it in my suitcase. Why would you put it in your suitcase? Why wouldn't you just throw them out?
There's no saving those.
I bet my mom had fun cleaning that out.
Oh, because you didn't have to clean them. That's why.
Because my mom, yeah. I can't remember what happened to that bed sheet I used around my waist, but I really hope she threw it away.
I hope you didn't give it back.
I know. Yeah, it's like, thank you for this.
Like, you just hand it back to her after you get off the bus. Like, thank you.
It's kind of like when people, when we worked at the animal hospital, a lot of people would bring like urine or fecal samples in like Tupperware, like clearly used for home, like leftovers. And they'd be like, don't worry, I don't want it back. It's like, I would fucking hope not.
Like, there's a puddle of diarrhea in this. Like, I hope you're not going to put your lasagna in this tonight.
Right. It's like, okay, great. Anyways, and that's my story. Fortunately, my uncontrollable diarrhea didn't scare my crush away because he still wanted to hang out with me outside of camp. Wow.
That's a green flag. That's sweet.
Thanks for reading. I hope this makes it on the podcast. If not, I hope you had a good chuckle and keep my story in mind whenever you are tempted to drink stream water before allowing the purifying tablets to dissolve. All right, my loves, enjoy the view, but watch your back. Literally, watch your back. You might have uncontrollable diarrhea when drinking unpurified water. Much love, Carissa.
Thank you for using your most embarrassing story for you as a life lesson for the rest of us. So hopefully we can avoid that. I feel like it's a very kind gesture for everybody listening.
Yeah, you just like made a sacrifice for everyone else. Like everyone's going to look at their water and be like, what would Carissa do?
Yeah.
Don't be like Carissa in this moment.
Yep. You just saved a lot of people some dirty shorts.
You sure did.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, my next story is titled, What's My Sign? I am a Gemini.
I'm just going to say, I have a pattern. And every, like, close, except with the exception of one, most of my closest female friendships are Geminis. And all of my, best, greatest relationships with men are Aries.
Very interesting that you gravitate towards, specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know? Al is a...
He's a Leo.
Leo?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a Leo. And then I have a lot of friends. Actually, I have a lot of friends who are Aries, too.
Aries are the best. I mean, at least in men. I don't really know many Aries women, but I just love an Aries man. They're so funny and the best. And
I dated one Aries man, and it was... not my favorite, but
that's okay, they're not for everyone.
But I think that he had some other signs going on that interfered with the good parts of Aries, because when you read the description of an Aries and then compared it to him, they were not the same. Yeah. And not to say that in a good or bad way, it just wasn't a fit for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I feel like maybe if he was on, because I have a lot of good friends that are Aries, so I feel like maybe if he had been more consistent with his sign, then things might have worked out differently. But
well, me and Al are both fire signs, which means that you generally get along with them.
Yeah.
So something was wrong with him, I guess.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I think that you're my only, that I can think of offhand, you're my only Sagittarius, friend ever. I can't think of another one.
I feel honored. Thank you.
Yeah. It's not that I'm avoiding them. I clearly enjoy Sagittarius's very much, but you're the only one I know.
I like the one and only.
Yeah. No other ones.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, my story is titled, What's My Sign? Hiya, Cassie and Danielle. My name is Jake, and I've been listening to NPAD for almost exactly 2 years now and loved every single episode. The Night of the Grizzlies saga had me hooked, and I began thinking if I had any trail tales that would be worthy of sharing when I got the call for stories about special signs. I will do my best to keep this brief, but no promises. I have always had a close connection to nature and animals, and I swear I have a new favorite animal every week since I was little. Sharks, octopus, tigers, whales. But living in Michigan, running into one of these animals is very unlikely. I've been thinking back in my life, trying to see if there's been any signs that I have overlooked or ignored, and I realize it's not been one solid sign, but a little puzzle put together. To start, I'll mention my grandpa. He passed away when I was 2 and only really have stories about him, no concrete memories. I think I remember being at a Cracker Barrel with him and family, but who knows? My mom said that he was always outdoors, growing up in the deep woods of Arkansas and going hunting whenever he could. If he killed an animal, he would meditate over it and thank it for the sustenance it would provide. Even when he would cut down a tree, he would thank it and plant its seeds around it, use the wood for things that would honor the tree. He wasted nothing. It was part of his own morals, and growing up during the Great Depression, extremely poor, that made him use every little bit of animal and tree. One day he was hunting when my mom was little. All he had was a coffee thermos and his gun, no camouflage or tree blind. He sat on a stump and sat stock still, absolutely no movement. Animals would get super close and sniff around, but because he wasn't moving, the animals couldn't quite see him. While there, he felt every hair on his neck stand on end. Feeling that something was wrong, then he heard a scream. It sounded like an absolute demon, and it was only a few feet behind him, and he felt its breath. Then a bobcat ran around him and off into the woods. It tried to scare him into moving, but he wouldn't budge. Being that close to nature and with animals has always made me admire him, and that is my favorite story of him. But where's the sign and what does it have to do with me? Well, I had my own unique bobcat encounter. While cross-country skiing with a school group when I was 11, and I was in the middle of the pack on the trail, not the fastest or the slowest, so I had some alone time in the snow in the woods with my thoughts until I tripped and fell down a hill. I landed on something soft and it moved. I fell on a damn bobcat. It screamed right in my face and it took off. I sat there stunned and thought of my grandpa's story and realized I had peed my pants. Oops. God, the pee and the poop. All I know, these stories. Yeah. The rest of the group saw me fall off the trail and helped me back up, but not everyone believed my bobcat story until they saw the tracks. Fast forward to this past summer, I was getting the finishing touches on a tattoo sleeve of different cryptids, and it included animal tracks. I told the artist to just use random tracks, and she happened to use bobcat tracks in the tattoo. I had not told her of my bobcat encounter or my grandpa's story, so this was a pretty near coincidence. The last piece of my animal sign puzzle appeared at Christmas this year. I was talking with my family about their current sailboat, Northern Lights the Second, and their old boat, Northern Lights the First, that they had when I was born, and revealed to me I was almost born on this boat if my mother's water broke an hour earlier. My parents, Bob and Kathy, had always joked that Northern Lights the First wasn't going to be the original name of the boat until my older siblings vetoed it. It was going to be named after my parents, the Bobcat. All of this flew around in my head, and I put it all together. A bobcat is my animal sign and the thing I was looking for, representing the person I most emulate, my grandpa, a pivotal time in my life being out in nature, the skiing incident, and the place I was almost born. Now all I have to do is get back out into the woods and wait for a bobcat to show itself, and hopefully it will guide me to my next checkpoint in life. Thanks for listening, for all the hard work y'all do, and remember to enjoy the view. But watch your back, because there might be a bobcat behind you. Jake.
Wow, I love that. I think I've only seen one bobcat, or in person, in the wild. I think I've only seen it once.
Really?
And it wasn't even in the wild, it was crossing the road.
That's so funny. I've actually seen bobcats a lot, and it's because my mom on her property, she has a bobcat that hangs in her yard, and it must live in the area. But I would look out my bedroom window, and there's this huge bobcat that just, and it's massive, and it will just sit in the grass and watch the birds and the things hanging out. And
that's sweet.
It is. It's cool. And you just see it, and it's not hunting or anything. It's literally just watching. And it's funny because you see birds that would normally be in the area, or squirrels, or activity that would be going on. It all kind of scatters when it sits down. Mm-hmm. But there's still some little things going on.
Well, most recent bobcat thing that comes to mind for me, I obviously wasn't there, but my mom and my stepdad sent me a video. So in our backyard, my family childhood home backyard, there's a ton of rabbits, like so many, overpopulation of them.
Oh, wow.
And my mom has like a lot of gardens and stuff. And instead of killing them, like they're trying to trap them. And I mean, obviously it's not the most efficient way, but they had a couple like have a heart traps out for them. Mm-hmm. And they sent me this video from my kitchen window overlooking the backyard. And my mom's like, oh my God, oh my God. And like, you could hear them like chattering about it. And she's zooming in, and there's a rabbit in the trap, and there's a bobcat circling it and trying to grab it out. And like, the poor rabbit, I don't even know if it lived, because you know how little animals like that can just.
They're so fragile.
They can die of stress, you know? And it was just, this bobcat was trying to reach in and grab its legs, and it was just circling it and trying to get into the trap. And they eventually scared it away. And I don't know what happened. I'm pretty sure that rabbit was probably not long for this world after that. But
yeah, like let it out, and then it went and had a heart attack in a bush somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. So yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it was cool to see that. And you know, they're around everywhere in New Hampshire, but yeah, I've never seen one in New Hampshire. It was in Colorado when I saw it.
That's so funny. Well, yeah. Maybe you'll see some when you get back, because I know there are a lot. You know what I've never seen in New Hampshire, besides moose? I've never seen coyotes in New Hampshire. I've seen them out west, but never.
Never I've seen them England. Quite often. And because, again, my childhood home, it borders, it's only about two or three houses down from on a dead end road that borders a huge swath of conservation land. So every night in the summer, we would hear them, especially growing up.
I've heard them many times in mm-hmm. New England, but never seen them.
Well, when we were hiking a lot in that conservation area, just because it's at the end of the road, we would take our dogs growing up there. And I remember this one time I was visiting back from Colorado, and when I worked at the Wolf Center, and just someone who was out biking stopped me and was like, just so you know, like, just be careful. There was a wolf up there, like around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you mean a coyote wolf? Or like, just gonna want to clarify.
You that. Turn the corner and it's a husky that like got just out of like its somebody's yard. Pet.
But I was just like, okay. So I'm like, oh, do you mean a coyote? And he's like, I don't know. It was big and I think it's a wolf. I'm like, okay, well,
you're wrong.
We don't have wolves here, but thanks for the heads up. Like, try and gently correct.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, well, that would be really surprising since we don't have wolves here in southern New Hampshire, in the middle of the suburbs. But thank you.
Thank you. Anyway. I'll really keep my eye out. Yeah.
Like, not to be a bitch or anything, but anyway. Okay, great. We have two more. Mine's called Mesa Verde Madness.
Ooh, I like Mesa Verde. I've never been to Mesa Verde, but it is a place where I think it's really interesting. So I'm excited to hear that one. And mine is has a really funny title. Mine is titled Babies Are Friends, Not Food. Which I
like a human
didn't
baby,
think honestly. That we should clarify that, but I agree. Babies are friends, not food.
All right. Well, we'll share those for Apple subscribers and Patreon members. If you are interested in signing up, we do this every time. We do two bonus stories for subscription members. It's available bonus stories and it's ad free every time for them over on those platforms. So if you're interested, you can go to our Patreon or Apple and check it out. Apple even offers a couple day free trial. So if you want to get bonus episodes every month, ad free episodes, head on over and check it out.
Yeah. And thank you again, everyone, for writing in your stories. It's a pleasure reading them, and we love hearing them and telling them.
And Carissa really, I will say, set the bar for embarrassing stories, because she's right. I don't think we've had too many. No one's really ready to.
I would love a whole episode of embarrassing stories.
You want that?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, let's stop being embarrassed about them, and just because we all have really embarrassing stories to share. So I feel like it would be fun if everyone, and you can be anonymous, like we don't have to say your name. You don't even have to put your name. I mean, I think if you put it in the submission link, we don't see your name anyway unless you say it. So, I mean, whatever embarrassing stories you have, that would be a fun episode.
To hear.
If people write in enough embarrassing stories that they want read publicly on a podcast. Right.
And we'll even, I guess, like open it up a little bit, like, because I feel like it's really unique to have your most embarrassing story on a trail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it could be anywhere.
Yeah. It can be anywhere. Okay.
And we'll think about ours too.
I already know mine.
Do you? I don't know what mine is.
At least I don't know if it's my most embarrassing, but it's definitely up there. Okay. But anyway, maybe we'll save that for that episode.
Yeah. And I'll think on mine.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone, enjoy the view.
But watch your back.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us again this week. If you have a trail tale or story suggestion, send us an email at stories@npadpodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at National Park After Dark and on Twitter at npadpodcast. Join our Outsiders Only community on Patreon or Apple subscriptions to listen ad-free, unlock monthly bonus episodes, and exclusive content.
And remember, when you support our sponsors, you are supporting our show. For our exclusive discount code and source information from today's episode, check out the show notes. For more information on our show, our book recommendations, merch updates, and more, visit our website at npadpodcast.com. And please rate, review, and subscribe from wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.